The stream would be their battleground. Septon Sefton waddled out and said a prayer, beseeching the Father above to look down on these two men and judge them justly, asking the warrior to lend his strength to the man whose course was just and true, begging the mother's mercy for the liar, that he might be forgiven for his sins. When the praying was over and done with, he turned to Sir Eustace Osgree one last time. "Sir," he said, "I beg you once again, withdraw your accusation." "I will not," the man said, his mustache trembling. The fat septon turned to Lady Rohan. "Good sister, if you did this thing, confess your guilt and offer good Sir Eustace some restitution for his wood. Elsewise, blood must flow."
"My champion will prove..."
You should read it. Read her.
Okay.
"My champion..." Right there. Happy 2024, everyone.
"My champion will prove my innocence before the eyes of gods and men."
Oh, Lucas. "I would never marry you, but feel free to maybe die for me right here
in the
stream." Put
it all on the line. Put it all on the line for this very formal trial by combat.
This is the last podcast for The Sworn Sword, and boy, was that ending something else for me. When we wrap around and come all the way back to those cages, I'm going to have it, I'll read it later. I have it copy and pasted, but yeah. And so a couple times during the reading before we recorded, you gasped out loud and at one point made a very strange noise. So please tell our dear friends what's going on.
I had to double check that what I read was correct, you know? I read it three times just to make sure I was not missing something. And that part would be our little wedding that we have near the end of the chapter.
You're like, "Wait, Lucas is dead. What wedding? He died."
I was like, "Who is she going to marry? She's going to marry the Checky Lion?"
The Checky Lion gets all the babes. Checky Lion knows no bounds.
There was a lot of drama that day. The tensions were high. Everybody was like high on life. She goes to grieve her old lover. They start talking. Just the emotions are flowing and one thing leads to another. And next thing you know, they're married. The whole time Dunk is literally drowned, laying in some hospital bed a castle away. And he wakes up and his girly marries the worst possible person she could choose other than Bennis.
A walking, talking mustache.
She looked at that man and she was like, "He's the one for me." All of this could have been handled. It's fine because our boy made it out alive. In two ways. One, if these guys had just met face-to-face, honestly, for a while. Or two, if Bennis had just given himself up.
Which guys met face-to-face, honestly? Like Duncan and Rohan?
Rohan and...
Eustace. Oh, yeah. I mean, if you're going to get married, you probably could have worked it out.
That's what I'm saying. Anyway, I read that. I was like, I don't know what I was expecting. It was not that. I know that, you know, the start of this part, chapter, whatever, she's like... you're going to have to marry me. And, you know, it's like, oh, man.
Lucas Longage.
We've been watching, by we, I mean me, a lot of Christmas Hallmark movies, you know? And it's like, wow, when the clock strikes midnight, you're going to have to marry this guy you don't want to be with. And so it just, like, adds so much more heightened tension to the entire situation. So I'm looking at this end of The Sworn Sword from that chapter, from that perspective, you know, of Hallmark Christmas movie kind of energy. But the big plot twist is that she gets with the dad, basically, instead of...
The grandpa.
The grandpa, instead of her knight in shining armor.
Why not? A little bit.
I guess.
They both got towers.
I guess. I mean, I know she had, you know, whatever, political alliances, blah, blah, blah.
She also had the deadline come out.
Yeah,
so she literally was going to turn into a pumpkin.
She had to.
Yeah.
But wow, I was not expecting
that. It took
you
by surprise,
though,
right? Yeah. Reading it again took me by surprise again, just the way it... you know, comes into Dunk's consciousness. Uh-huh. That's what's happened. I love what you said about it feeling like a Hallmark movie, because while she's having her Hallmark movie, two men had to fight for the death in a stream. And one of them did die, and one of them nearly died as well. And the horses suffered so much, eyes rolling in the back of their head, suffering the pain from those blows from that poleaxe. Just so the highborns can have their Hallmark moment.
I know. It's so interesting. And I love how water was such a central piece of this book, and was the abundance of water was the whole last bit versus the beginning.
That's true, yeah.
We were in a drought, and so the trial by combat is in a stream, and then it's raining at the end of the chapter. Dunk's like in and out of consciousness, and he hears the rain coming.
What's that sound? That's rain, sir.
What a great way to bring it all all back around.
That sequence when the TV show is made is going to be so cool.
I know.
Because it'll probably go to black after it goes to black in the book where Dunk, the white fish swims by Dunk and he's like, what's that?
Mm-hmm.
What's that? I wonder what that is. That's a little bit of, I feel like we could break into that a little bit. Maybe it's since he did drown, maybe we saw a little shard, a little glimmer of George's afterlife.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe it was just a fish. But the question is there.
Is it a symbol?
I don't think so. There's no one with a fish sigil nearby this. So it cuts to black. And then we get like the way it fills in the epilogue of Dance mm-hmm. with the snow in King's Landing. We just hear.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like wind, but you hear the rain just slowly pick up. And it's doing like establishing shots of Cold Moat. And maybe it cuts to Standfast too. And maybe we see.
The banners.
Some not only the banners, but some of the villagers in their hovels, like pulling some stuff in.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
That would be outside so it doesn't get stuck in the rain. And we see like a shot of the burnt ground from the night before being wetted. We see the stream filling up a little bit. Maybe there's a little bit of armor left in the water still. And then, yeah, we cut into Dunk in the Maester's chambers. That was cool. This is good. It was good.
It was great. I liked it. It was awesome. And the fact that Dunk actually drowned.
Yeah.
And was able to be brought
Luckily,
back.
I'm Ironborn.
I love that. The Maester
says, he can bring you back to life.
I thought that was such an incredible touch. And so
he did CPR. So Dunk got kissed twice in this book.
In this couple paragraphs.
Yeah.
He really finally got the action he'd been looking for at the end here.
Was it what you expected following up the Hedge Knight? Now that we've finished this, I only have one Dunk and Egg book left.
I know.
It's a mixture
I feel sad.
Of excitement and sadness for me, too.
What do you think? Incredible ending. Super satisfying. I thought that Dunk getting a kiss. Also, I was worried. I was like, she married this guy like yesterday. And I know that things are a little different, maybe back then. It was a political
move. I mean,
for
highborn and for people that lie and sneak, maybe. Is that
I
what you
guess.
Mean?
Well, yeah, like it just seems to me like marriage is not a real thing, really, in A Song of Ice and Fire. And so, for whatever that's worth. But at first I was like, man, Dunk is going to be left high and dry again. We get like a Tansel mention when he's talking about his shield as he's like getting ready for the battle. And then, so I was worried. That's another reason why I gasped. I was like, she's got this other guy now. And Dunk was not happy. He had some great quips back at her when they finally meet face to face. He's like, why didn't she come see me when I... She was like, why are you sneaking out? And in his brain, he's like, why didn't you come see me?
Yeah,
like,
she didn't visit him one time.
Yeah, what is going on here? So
Septon Sefton did, though, many times.
Yeah, he sure did.
So if Septon Sefton can come visit, why can't you, Lady Rohan?
She had plenty of time to.
She was enjoying her new marriage.
She was.
Like you said, hanging up those new banners. Eustace got what he wanted in the end. After lying and cheating.
He doesn't deserve
hiding
it.
Hiding information.
Yeah, no, he doesn't.
And sitting on the hill.
And then Dunk fights for him.
Dunk fights for him. After he was going to let all those other guys, Dick, Bean, and the boys, die.
Mm-hmm.
Also.
Mm-hmm.
Little did he know it was going to turn out like this.
Dunk has his girl, though.
Which girl?
He cut off all her hair.
Dude. What do you think about that? What do you think about that? What I thought it was powerful.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, she wants to sleep with you right now. She wants you to stay and be her Kristen Cole for a little bit. Maybe as long as you want, ideally. And he says no. He says, I need to go. He says that to the Maester. I knew you would like that line. I was like, yep. He goes, I need to go. And I just think it's what a way. That's the most intimate thing he could have done without giving it to her. Like she wanted him to give it to her, so she would just continue to get all the stuff that she wanted, to not have to trade in anything to get what she wanted back. Like, I'm still gonna give you this gift,
right?
The gift of doing me after almost dying for Eustace for no reason. Now you get to have this, but really she wins and Eustace wins all in the end, and he. In a new layer of Dunk cunning, a new layer of Dunk sticking it to people who suck fashion, says no, but he takes her hair, her favorite thing. I wonder how much of it he cut off. It doesn't say. At least I leave it to our interpretation.
Even highborn ladies don't get all they want. It says he, when he's talking to Egg, he reached under his cloak, brought out the braid.
Yeah, that's what
And smiled. I was like, he cut.
But it also says a lock. So you thought it was a whole braid?
Well, I didn't think it was a whole braid, but I was like, if you could describe how much hair you took from her head as a braid, it's too much.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Much. Has that girl ever given you a lock of her hair?
No. Not on purpose.
There's this guy I knew in college who cut the back of my best friend's hair during class.
With her permission?
Without her permission.
With
so he
what?
Could have with scissors.
He had like fist guards.
He had scissors
like
and
art
took
class.
He took a huge chunk of her hair. Yeah.
In college.
Yeah.
Why did he have those?
Because he was in love with her, apparently.
And he brought him to class for that specific reason.
Yep. To cut off a chunk of her hair.
Christ.
I always thought that was kind of gross.
You think?
But but Dunk has this one.
Premeditated?
Yeah.
You're not walking around with fist guards.
Right.
All right. Man.
Anyway, so it was good, though. It was good. I felt like we got such great resolution between the two of them, but Dunk still came out on top. And he and Egg are going to the wall.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are they really? They say
what
they're going
think?
To the wall.
So the next book is called The Mystery Knight. What does that mean?
I can't look it up. All I want to do is look it up. I'm not looking at anything because the second I do, I'm going to go down rabbit holes. But
okay. What's your best guess?
When Dunk says, why do you want to go see the wall? And Egg's like, I hear it's tall.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, let's go. I'm so hyped up that they're finally out of this situation. They can leave all these people behind. It's raining. Conscious is clear. Dunk comes out on top. We're not sure for a while that he's going to make it in this battle because he loses his weapon. And he's drowned. So
Lucas is a good fighter. He's got good armor.
Yeah.
Very fancy.
He's got that huge weapon. Dunk has nothing. And so the vibes are high. And so the thought of them then like marching onto the wall where hopefully people are going to mind their own business for once. That would be great.
See, that's what we thought was going to happen. I guess in the Hedge Knight too. All of a sudden he's getting it. Well, Dunk thought that. He didn't know he was going to get caught up in the Fossaways and the Targaryens' weird little plan. Egg's family lying about him and saying that he had something to do with kidnapping Egg.
Right.
Just getting caught up, like you said. No one staying out of his business. But at the beginning of this one, when we walked past those dead men rotting in the two small cages, it was an omen, like the sky in this chapter. And we didn't know what to expect going down the road. We just knew that there was a drought. It ended up being a situation that needed to be unpacked. And in the unpacking of that situation, Dunk, I think, got a little bit more than he bargained for. He ended up learning a lot more about himself, a lot more about how people work with each other. So did Egg. And he also learned a little bit more about romance because he hasn't really had that opportunity because he's been hanging out with Sir Arlen most of his life. Tonsil was like the closest thing that we had gotten. And we know that he had been in a situation where he could have paid to sleep with a woman, or Sir Arlen could have paid for him to sleep with a woman, but he was too young to wrap his mind around it. So that sort of a growth, his growth as a young man,
mm-hmm.
happened through serving a shitty, I don't know, you wouldn't call him a lord, in a shitty tower
mm-hmm.
with Sir Bennis
mm-hmm.
being the only other guy there who could fight.
Yeah.
And Lady Rohan just being the boss of all these dummies.
He learned more about kissing in a moment than he had ever known from watching. Dunk becomes a man. It's true, though. It's like, isn't that how it always works out, though? It's like you're always
in. You think it's
going
to be something else, and it turns out being something that is fateful and descriptive of your life's experience in this universe. Like, you think it might not matter, think you just get through the situation, but it ends up being definitive of who you are mm-hmm. as a human.
Right.
And I just really like the imagery of entering the realm of this. Let's imagine it's like a make-believe fairy tale land, this Standfast and Cold Moat with the land in between and the Checky water and their rivalry and the history. But it's this, you could see it illustrated at the beginning of a book. And the way you enter is the path with the men hanging, and the way you exit is back through.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all over.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that moment existed and it was so important, but now you've left them and it's just on to the next one. It's very interesting. I love that he closed it in that way and buttoned it up because I feel like I entered the place and now I'm leaving
mm-hmm.
and there's no need to go back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people on the internet really like the romance between Dunk and Rohan, but reading it with a heavier lens now for the podcast, I see that they really do like each other.
For
and
sure.
She's definitely a little hottie.
Mm-hmm.
So cool. But she also sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Bad.
Hit it and quit it, you know?
I mean, that is an option. But at the same time, like, he gets a little bit more satisfaction of just rubbing it in.
I know.
That's like Dunk style.
Dunk is the kind of man who can't be tied down, you know? He doesn't want any of it.
And he doesn't want them to have a memory of him ever giving in.
No. He is a stalwart, steadfast kind of man. I'm on board.
Kind of a jerk, too.
Kind of a jerk, too.
For taking those potential memories away from people.
Mm-hmm.
Refusing to bend to their will. Doing it all in his way. And so, like I said, when he exits, I don't think there's a reason to look back. Like, this place could disappear out of A Song of Ice and Fire lore, and it would be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've went in, and then we left.
It's pretty fun because that's so against what the A Song of Ice and Fire main narrative is everything is interwoven and meant to build off each other. But this is a story about Dunk and Egg,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so all of these tertiary characters who play this huge role in helping them become the men that they will become don't need to pop. I mean, okay, I haven't read The Mystery Knight yet, but don't need to pop back up again. Like, we don't need Rohan back again in 15 chapters to remind Dunk of da 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 da. It's such a cool way to just look at and explore the world and to just get little vignettes of people and places and times that we don't have the opportunity to explore in the main narrative or at any other time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it is pretty cool that it's buttoned up quickly. I think it's interesting to read this short of a story at the pace that we read it at, because we read it really slow for the podcast so that we could talk about it and break it down. And that makes sense for the show, but it's a short book.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always am curious and will probably go back and read it straight through, probably in a sitting after this, just to kind of get that same experience, because like the buildup of all these things happening between them from just time passing between us recording, I wonder what kind of weight that may have changed into how we see some of the conflict or some of these characters. But like you said, people think about the Rohan Dunk romance.
They love it.
And
yeah.
So I don't think we lost any impact by reading it slower. I don't think we overbuilt it up in our heads by reading it slower.
I think
it's there no matter what.
Yeah, no, totally. I agree. There's merits to doing it both ways. Netflix likes to do it in the binge way, you know, but I really enjoy waiting a week between each GOT episode or each Hot D episode. That's fun. I think that stories that are being told like this, whether it be chapters, whether it be an hour, hour and a half on TV, that temporal stretch, rather than just being one sitting, like imagine if the Dune movie was a TV series,
mm-hmm.
instead of it just being a couple hours where you're like, wow, that was cool. But instead you got to really see them, like the pacing of like those thropters at the beginning of the Dune movie, those weird helicopters
mm-hmm.
Coming out and them using CGI and sound and the weirdness of their technology to impress you, the viewer,
mm-hmm.
and take you to a new place. They only got to do that like three times
mm-hmm.
over the course of that whole movie, because you can't keep doing that. That's like a flourish of an artistic style that you did and now it's done. But when you have 10 episodes, you can dot little moments like that in over the course of the whole thing. That's fun for me to enjoy as someone who's watching something. And that's how Aswath reads whenever you're reading it, because each chapter has like a pretty strong relationship between the characters, have a strong relationship between the world around them. The details, the weather, the implications of who believes what and who's going to be on whose side for which thing, and obviously what's actually happening. It all has a chance to re-engage and like marry itself together, and then it's made further complicated by each chapter not being the same person.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just always a mixed bag. So there's all these new opportunities to set the scene and to create a brand new mood. I don't think that brand new is good just by merit of being brand new, but it's cool to have the opportunity to try a lot of neat things and to be exposed to a lot of neat things.
Mm-hmm.
So I like breaking it up slowly.
Me too.
I think it's fun.
It's a good experience. So when the TV show comes around and it's broken up exactly like you broke it up for the podcast.
Oh my God, I hope so.
Nobody be surprised.
So they'll only be like 5 or 6 episodes if that was the... I guess this is part 7, I think.
So yeah, we broke this up into
7 parts.
I don't think you can make 10 episodes out of The Sworn Sword.
Unless you added other... If we piloted into different areas of Westeros and made maybe an overarching story about other things that were happening at the time, like pulled
from
the world
of Ice and
Fire or
something. Well, like what's happening with Aegon's family, like the Targaryen rule.
Leading up to Summerhall.
Yeah.
What I'm interested to know is if the Dunkin' Egg series will stop where the books are published or if they'll go further into like Summerhall, for example. That was a mild spoiler.
Yeah, I was going to ask. I mean, I assume that's where they go next or they go there by the end. Do they? Don't tell me. Should I?
That would involve a pretty significant time jump.
Yeah.
It's possible that they do that in the Mystery Night. I don't want to say.
Potentially. Yeah. Maybe. I don't know.
But there's chances to make more stuff if it's good. Look at all the extra stuff that Hot D's done. And that's been pretty fun.
Is George writing these?
I don't know.
Because that was something else I was thinking. I was like, what a great place to come back to as you're toying around with Westeros. Like, not a break necessarily from writing, but an opportunity to kind of flex in a different format with the same type of characters.
I feel like learning more about your world while you do it.
It could probably be potentially be pretty inspiring for
that's kind of like
other events.
What I see this podcast as for me, because I love reading books like this and I love watching programs and movies like this. And so just forcing myself to look at the way I think about it makes me enjoy it more.
Yeah.
So it's like practicing for doing something that you really like.
Yeah.
So bring it on, I say. I hope he gets to do more of them, though.
I would really like more
Dunkin' Egg books.
We still have one more left, so I'm not going to jump the gun. And I feel like there's a lot of questions that I have that we can talk about once we finish the third one. Just about like the future. Because I'm curious where all of this ends. Because
you want to read The World of Ice and Fire?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No,
you mean where Dunkin' Egg series ends or their lives?
I'm curious where Dunkin' Egg ends, because then I have a lot of questions about what then happens between the ending of Dunkin' Egg and the rest of history as we know it.
Dunk being in the white book with Brienne turning the pages.
Yeah. With that, with Egg and his future, I mean, I just have so many questions that I don't know if we're going to get any of those answered in the mystery. And I assume the answer is no. And so I'm looking forward to having the perspective of all of those to then ask those questions, because it's super interesting that we get these little vignettes in time when we know the pre-history and we know the post-history, whatever the right phrase is for that to come after. And so I said this, I mean, we've said this before, but if you've dismissed it because it's just little tales, I feel like you're doing yourself a disservice, because I've learned so much about Westeros in reading this. Like, it's just been such a great exercise. And so I loved The Sworn Sword. I think I liked this more than The Hedge Knight, personally.
What
I just think that the...
better?
I think that the fact that the main guys aren't here... And they kind of were in The Hedge Knight. Like, we were brushing up against royalty.
Baelor was there. The Hand was there.
Yeah. And so it feels a little bit more familiar to A Song of Ice and Fire. They're like brushing. And I know Aeg is who he is, but he's in the trenches and he's doing the whole cover up thing.
He's a kid too.
He's a kid.
Yeah.
And so having, I just love these minor conflicts and having this more real world perspective on what life was like for all these other... We never get to hang out with little lords like this. Like, these guys own nothing.
Right, and if they know that no Targaryens or Starks are around, no highborn lords are around, they talk way more shit.
Exactly, or even themselves. Anybody above them, because how many layers are between them and...
Those guys.
The families, you know? A lot of layers, but it's so... It's just raw and real. And then there's guys like Bennis out here who are just being absolute... menaces. And running amok. And so I loved
literally
how the nitty gritty of The Sworn Sword, like, it just felt so visceral and it felt so intimate.
That's why people like the crossroads stuff in the TV show.
Yeah, completely. It's George does
Arya
that
and the Brotherhood Without Manners.
George is incredible at these like intimate moments and making you really feel like you're brushing up against reality inside of a fantasy world.
Mm-hmm.
And the Sworn Sword was all the things that feast for crows was, but
without
simpler and like condensed and quicker. It was like all the good parts of that. If you enjoy that kind of
heading up to the whispers with nimble dick,
then this
salt
is for
pans
you.
Without all the violence.
Yeah,
the treetop houses with hand guy.
Mm-hmm.
High heart. Well, High Heart's a little bit too mysterious to include in that list.
But there was still some mystery with the boot and...
Yeah, you're right.
With just eggs.
The fish.
And the fish.
I stand by that. Listen, that stuck out to me. That was weird. There's something in that.
Yeah.
There's something in that.
I don't know.
It's hard for me to say. I don't think I need to say which one is better, but now that I think about it, it's hard for me to say which one that I enjoyed the most because I really like all the heraldry. It just blows up my imagination when the attorney at Ashford gets described, and I love Steely Pate, and there was no Steely Pate in this, so automatically that's like minus 10 points.
Fair enough.
But Rohan was a looker, and that was interesting, and I'm glad that the long inch got taken down.
Mm-hmm.
He was a dweeb.
Man,
but of course, it's just pain. I feel so much pain for how all these people have to fight for these nonces that are just marrying each other and just enjoying the riches of having been born into a family with thick walls.
Yeah, it's messed up. Mm-hmm. Especially, like you were saying, he was going to send all of his people to die.
Mm-hmm.
No problem. Not even thinking twice about it, just because of his ego, you know? It's a sad state of the world, but I think that... any of those vibes continue on today, just maybe less like overt than they are here.
Yeah, or
here
just,
in the text.
They're not as simple as this.
Right.
It's like if only we had a little vignette into our world that was a microcosm of the macrocosm like this, which is interesting. I'm really excited to do the third book, though. I think that the third is probably my favorite of the three of them.
So mysterious.
It is very mysterious. I'm curious to know what you think about it.
The things that I'm thinking about are, like I was saying, how does Egg's future roll into all of this?
Mm-hmm. Like what's his final big lesson?
Exactly. Before he then goes back to being a royal, basically. And does his family care about where he is? I know that they know where he is.
One time in these books.
But like at some point something's got to give. Like he's got to come in contact with his family, I would think. So I'm assuming that we may get something like that in the next book. And I'm stressed for Dunk and his vibe. And like I was saying, just a lot of questions about how we get from the current day, quote unquote, current day
to being in the King's Guard.
Yeah. And so I don't know how many answers we're going to get in book three, but I'm looking forward to finding out.
So do you think that he's more he has a clear head about what he wants from a girl, or do you think he's done with girls?
Oh, no, he knows what he wants.
Okay.
He wants to be the one.
Okay.
He wants to be the one. He doesn't want gifts. He doesn't want sympathy. He's had his first kiss, so I'm sure a whole world of possibilities has opened up to him. The fear there is gone that he has about what that could or couldn't be. And he was very aggressive about it. No timidness, which we love for that for him. And I hope that that serves him well in the future going forward. But I don't think he's done with girls. I think that that is... protecting girls and being out there with the girlies, I think, is a high priority for him, as it should be. And I bet there'll be another girly in the next book.
Well, we have a little leftover story that could potentially come up. I'm going to read an excerpt. Bennis, Dunk thought bitterly. Bloody Bennis. While Dunk had been making his stand at the stream, Bennis had tied up Sam Stoops and his wife, ransacked Standfast from top to bottom, and made off with every item of value he could find, from candles, clothes, and weaponry to Osgree's old silver cup and small cachet of coins the old man had hidden in his solar behind a mildewed tapestry. That's the same place that Hisdar hides all his treasure, too. That treasure being Hisdar himself. One day, Dunk hoped to meet Sir Bennis of the Brown Shield again. And when he did, dot, dot, dot. And then Dunk says, Bennis will keep.
I wrote Kill Bennis in all caps okay. next to that.
So Mystery Knight, what if Bennis is Mystery Knight?
I would love if we get to kill
Bennis.
One
final trial by combat.
But here's the thing. Eustace deserves that, honestly.
Yeah. That's fair.
He kind of deserves it a little.
That's fair.
Wouldn't you think?
I mean, getting stuff stolen from you is such a it's just such a nasty thing.
So
that
weak,
someone's been
too.
Rooting around in your stuff and they went behind your tapestry and took your coins. Like, that's just, it's creepy. I don't think anyone deserves that. But yeah, it makes sense. I see what you're saying. At least he didn't kill Sam Stoops and his
wife.
That's
true.
You know?
But it's creepy and it's weak. But Eustace was defending this guy for no reason. I guess Bennis has been like his man for a while.
Been his man, and we talked about it last episode. It's just like a stubborn thing, a pissing contest where it was like, I don't want to give an inch.
Oh, that's fair. But Bennis absolutely sucks. What he did was so cowardly. It was such a cowardly move. He's up there with his toes out. Remember when we were leaving?
His feet were out.
His feet were like dangling. Mm-hmm. He's like, see you guys
freshly
later.
Freshly washed. They were so tender.
It's like, okay, Bennis, where can you go that you can survive? That's going to be my question. If we get to see Bennis next.
Anywhere.
Where could he actually survive?
He'll just lie. He'll sell that stuff like Mundungus Fletcher, and then he'll go live anywhere. He'll
do
this again.
I don't know about that.
He might go right to Cold Moat and get free. No, that would be a bad idea.
That would be a bad idea. Yeah, he needs to go far away. He needs to go far, far away. Oh my gosh. If we get to see Bennis again, oh my gosh. If we get to kill Bennis, that is going to be the cherry on top for me. It's such a cowardly thing to do.
Yeah.
It's just cowardly.
Not only did he hide, but he robbed them and left.
Every single time, like every chapter, our hatred for Bennis has grown stronger and stronger and stronger because he keeps making all the wrong moves.
I'm going to miss the guy between now and the next episode. Yeah. Maybe. Here's another excerpt. I titled this, Why Did She Marry Him? You would not know, of course. Cold Moat and Standfast were reconciled after your battle. This is a maester speaking to Dunk as he's in the bed. Lady Roanham begged leave of old Sir Eustace to cross his land and visit Adam's grave, and he granted her that right. She knelt before the blackberries and began to weep, and he was so moved that he went to comfort her. They spent the whole night talking of young Adam and my lady's noble father. Lord Wyman and Sir Eustace were fast friends until the Blackfyre Rebellion. His lordship and my lady were wed this morning by our good Septon Sefton. Eustace Osgree is the Lord of Coldmoat.
He came out.
And his Checky lion flies beside the Weber spider on every tower and wall.
He came out on. I don't know what he said to her to make her.
She had the deadline.
She had the deadline. But still, you know.
Dude, he came out on top.
He came out on top.
That's his girl. They're probably going to try and make kids. They probably have already, like, a bunch of times by the time she's outside the stable talking to Dunk, trying to touch him again with her finger.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. That's what I was saying. Mm-hmm. That's why Dunk is not an idiot. Dunk the Lunk no more. He's like, okay, I see what's going on, and now you're coming over here, and you're trying to give me a horse.
That's a nice horse.
I'm going to cut off your entire nice hair. I'm going to take all of your braid.
He says, that horse is much too nice for me.
He also can't get rid of his horse. He has Thunder. That's his boy. They were in battle together.
Yeah, I was thinking, take the horse and just let Thunder ride beside you guys, unburdened by your weight.
Yeah, that's true. Keep him as part of the crew.
That's the thing. Stick it to her a little bit more, I think. Just go ahead and take the horse.
No, I think it's better to leave it all behind because Dunk needs nothing.
Yeah.
He's just going to disappear.
Except for that awesome horse.
Except for the awesome horse, but now it's all...
And Egg took a horse.
Dunk didn't, though. I would have done the same thing. Leave it all behind. I don't need any of it.
Makes sense.
Are we going to see her again? Probably not. We're talking about that ball being buttoned up. On to the next. But he's going to think about her for sure.
I had to read that part. When they leave.
Please.
The Iron Cage. In the Iron Cage at the crossroads, the corpses still embraced. They looked lonely, forlorn. Even the flies had abandoned them and the crows as well. Only some scraps of skin and hair remained upon the dead men's bones. Dunk halted, frowning. His ankle was hurting from the ride, but it made no matter. Pain was as much a part of knighthood as were swords and shields. Which way is south? He asked Egg. It was hard to know. When the wind was all rain and the mud and sky... was gray as a granite wall. That's south, Egg pointed. That's north. Summerhall is south. Your father. The wall is north. Dunk looked at him. That's a long way to ride. I have a new horse, sir. So you do. Dunk had to smile. And why would you want to see the wall? Well, said Egg, I hear it's tall.
Let's go to the wall.
So he's unbothered.
Yeah.
Or he's at least trying to push the vibe to being unbothered. egg for Dunk. Knighthood is Pain. Pain is as much a part of knighthood as Burst Swords and Shields. And I guess not just physical pain.
I love
it. You liked Rohan.
He did too. They were a good match. Mm-hmm. They were a good match.
Sucks to be let down by people and again and again.
That's why I gasped when she married Eustace. I know that she had to get married, but just like, of all people.
And while he was injured too.
Yeah, while he was basically in a coma.
Yeah, no. She scurried away.
And then she never came to visit him. They had this like really intense moment on the battlefield. Mm-hmm. Like, that's so messed up.
Mm-hmm.
Then she has the audacity to come to him.
Yep. And that's why she's still at Cold Moat, and that's where she will stay.
Right.
She will stay at Cold Moat with the Eustace Osgree, the walking, talking, living, breathing mustache machine.
Ew. That's her life now. I loved Aang in this chapter, though, and I loved the description. We get when the maester is taking care of Dunk, and he's kind of describing to Dunk what's been going on. Dunk says, I want Aang. And the maester's like, ah, yes, hunger is a good thing coming back for you. He's like, Aang is my squire. Is he? A brave lad and stronger than he looks. He was the one to pull you from the stream. He helped us get that armor off you, too, and rode with you in the wane when we brought you here. He would not sleep himself, but sat by your side with your sword across his lap in case someone tried to do you harm. He even suspected me and insisted that I taste anything I meant to feed you. A queer child, but devoted.
Mm-hmm.
Aang, I
smart.
Loved that.
He doesn't trust any of these people either.
He doesn't trust anybody. Mm-hmm. He's such a good, solid kid. And so how could you, when he says, let's go to the wall, say, I don't know.
Well, first off, it's a long way.
It is.
Second off, it's cold and miserable. And there's pretty much a guarantee that there's no girls there.
That's true.
So that's a couple checks. But I see what you're saying. I think it's a good idea because isn't it about the adventure? I mean, as we've seen in this chapter or in this book, when you go somewhere and you stay there, you tend
bad
to have to
happen.
You at least get caught up in it.
Yeah,
and
right.
Maybe you didn't sign off on like everyone else's wiles, the things that they want out of life. Maybe you didn't sign up for that, you know. So, but on the road, they're constantly moving.
We love a life on the road.
They can just go right by all of it. So they're like, let's find the furthest point and just stay away from everyone. Basically, just meet people for like a night.
Mm-hmm.
That's so funny.
I get it, but after reading that. And then Aang's desires. I'm like, he's being so solid, and he's being the one. You can hear Aang cheering for him as he's fighting
like
to the death.
Like he did in the tourney.
Yeah.
It's just like in the first book. He's right there.
It's so great. I just love, we've said it a million times, but their relationship is so special to watch. And let's do whatever he says. We have one book left before he has to basically go home, is what I'm assuming. So
we have to go home. They're going to keep doing their thing.
Let's go wherever you want.
I like how Aang has the measure of people. Like, it's accurate with the kind of family that he's from because he grew up with everyone trying to get something out of his family.
Mm-hmm.
And so he just is able to see through people a little bit more efficiently than someone that desperately needs something. And so he has the measure of all these people. And that's why he sat there with a sword.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, But this guy can't move. I don't trust any of you around.
Plus,
here
we're
right
in
now.
The enemy castle.
Basically. Well, not anymore, though. We got the Chucky
he
lions
know
flying
that.
Above the castle.
No.
That's true, I guess.
Maybe he doesn't. But yeah, I mean, he's got his wits about him in a way that I think Dunk, we talk a lot about how Aang is learning so many things as he then goes on to live his royal life. But Dunk is also learning a ton from Aang because I don't think that Dunk would have necessarily made that. I think that he's smart, but he wouldn't have made the guy taste his own food first before he fed it to him.
Probably not. He drank the potion.
Yeah.
Without
you know?
Thinking. Yeah.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
He knows
you need
he's
a balance
fine.
Of the two things.
Yeah,
I think.
You do. You do. But they make a good pair.
So was Bloodraven in this book?
Jeez.
Other than in threat and description and story.
He's the rain. Or he's the...
I thought he might be the ravens quirking above Dunk's bed.
You think so?
Maybe in one of them.
Or he's the fish.
Or he can't do it. Yeah, he might have been the fish. That might be the answer. I don't know enough about Brendan Rivers' powers at this point in his life.
Rivers? Fish?
That's what I'm saying.
No.
That's true. Maybe the water could help conduct the psychic power a little bit more thoroughly.
I'm not smart enough to know anything other than I think the answer to that is no.
Okay.
But I kind of like if the answer to that is no, a little. I mean, we get mentions of him, but like I said, let's just hang out for a while, you know? I know the stakes are high for some of these guys, but let's hang out for a while. Why does there have to be some mystical thing going on?
I think you're going
to
like the next book
time.
Then.
Really?
I think you will.
I can't wait. Can we read it today? Can we start today? Yeah, so that's, I mean, we get mentions of him, but let him be that mystical figure after we spent all that time with him. Basically, what I'm saying is we had a little bit of up close and personal time with him, or who he was, like more of who he was as a man.
I was there with him on the battlefield, at least, for a little bit in the Raven's Teeth.
Now let's get some separation of he becomes a little more mystical, you know, away from like
between now and the next podcast.
Yeah,
episode.
I don't know anything. Stop asking me questions I don't know the answer to.
Before we move on to Owens, do you have any parting thoughts?
I'm going to be really sad when The Mystery Knight is over. And I'm so happy that we're getting a TV show. Because
that's crazy.
It's nuts that we're getting a TV show while we're reading this. That is so fun.
Here's something that's interesting about the TV show. So Redanian Intelligence, which is a self-started, basically fantasy series TV show website. It's named after something from the Witcher series. Redania is a... Kingdom in the Witcher series. They cover a lot of different sci-fi stuff, fantasy stuff, and they've gotten a report from someone somewhere, they're the source for it, that Hot D season 3 is now starting, that people are now starting to work on it. Mm-hmm. Seems like an obvious thing, especially following GRM's blog post in December. Mm-hmm. So that's not that big of a bit of news, but it does allow us to glean some sort of a timetable if we think about if we're in the putting pen to paper, putting a business to logistics stages, casting, et cetera, locations, et cetera, for season 3, that they would start filming maybe at some point by the end of the year or maybe even in 2025. And so it looks like we'll have another gap between Hot D season 2 and 3 that it won't come out next year. It's possible, though, depending on how early they start filming. This is all just a guess.
Yeah.
But if that's the case, we also sort of know, just based on how people are reporting things, and Casey Bloys at HBO at that press event that they did in December, talking about A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms starting filming in the spring, then it seems like it'll be Hot D this year.
And then
Dunk and Egg next year. And then Hot D... the year following. So instead of getting two Asawoff shows in 1 year, it seems like we'll be getting one every year, but we might be entering the rhythm of them being different ones each time, which is an interesting way to get this going, because if that's the case, we don't necessarily have to wait for more content in Westeros, but there's more time to fit in more successor series from the original show. I'm curious whose idea it was, because to me it seems really smart to have HBO say yes to all these shows so they can get Asawoff every year. But it seems like a really cool way for the people behind Song of Ice and Fire TV shows, and obviously George is the mastermind, to be able to get more shows. It's like, oh, you want one every year? You gotta do a couple of these,
right? We
can do one every year.
It's so interesting that those two stories though would be alternating, because in my mind, obviously without having seen Dunk and Egg adapted, and I know that the Targaryen family is not as quite the star of the show in this series as they are in House of the Dragon.
At least in the book, though. They could do more.
Well, it seems like potentially for the casual viewer, confusing a little. Wouldn't you think that we've got these two Targaryen shows happening?
Three timelines.
At the same time with all of these different points of history being covered in the same family.
Yeah.
But I do see that, especially when we're looking at the Hedge Knight, I'd be very curious on filming style or theme song usage, like what that might look like, and how they would play off each other or not. Because I know that this idea of a George R. R. Martin Westeros verse is something that he wants to and is accomplishing. And so the more the merrier. Bring it on. Let's get all of the shows.
Let's do all of it. Bring on the animated ones too.
And allowing that space between each show might make them better. Hopefully. Hopefully it's a break in a real way and not a break in Game of Thrones way, where it was just laziness, you know, from my small perspective. Sorry.
Yeah, this is all a guess, by the way. I don't know what they're going to do.
It's just kind of interesting. It's kind of interesting because obviously no matter what happens, there will be multiple shows happening at the same time centered around pretty similar characters in a decently similar time period, I would say. So it's interesting they would do that instead of a Jon Snow show.
I get that. I think that there's a little bit of a fear that the Jon Snow show would be
a bad idea,
kind of like a Marvel spinoff.
Yeah.
You know?
1,000%.
It's like, why do we need this?
We don't.
But at the same time, I say bring it on to all of them.
We love... Because
they hire good people.
We love Dunkin' Egg as a TV show. We love it. And House of the Dragon has far exceeded all of our expectations. We're loving it.
It wouldn't have been my first choice either.
No. But it has turned out so well. So let's not cut ourselves at the knees by going back to... the OG storyline when we don't have to, when there's so many other amazing characters out there.
We need more Jon Snow. Come on.
So it'll be interesting to see.
The world needs more Jon Snow, right?
No.
No? Okay. But what if Dany isn't really dead, or what if she can be reanimated?
Oh, no, come on.
Drogon did carry her away.
I know.
And let the show universe do weird stuff while GRM writes the real
sauce. I was
going to
say, can you imagine if we then also get a Jon Snow show before we get Winds of Winter? That is way too chaotic.
Maybe before spring. Dream of Spring.
So chaotic.
That would be very chaotic.
It's like, here's another TV show off the book series that I have not finished.
I'm like, listen, everyone. Trust the plan.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful plan. Listen, I haven't been let down yet, so, you know, that's what I'm operating off of. Like I said, Hot D wouldn't have been my first choice, but it ended up being the best high fantasy adaptation that I've seen.
And
they made it feel like a high fantasy book on TV. They did a really good job.
Season 2 will be even greater.
I think it'll be better, yeah.
So, that's very cool.
Yep. Okay, Owens, here is mine. Hannah already said my first one, but I'm going to say it again. Egg, he got out. I want Egg. This is Dunk to the maester who was helping him. I forget his name. Hunger is a good sign, the maester said, but it is sleep you need just now, not food. Oh, come on. And my second own. It would please you, Lord Eustace, too. He is very fond of you. This is Rohan asking Dunk to stay.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know what she was thinking that was going to work.
Very She's all fond. Caught up with him right now.
Very fond, Dunk agreed. If his daughter wasn't dead, he'd want me to marry her. Then you could be my lady mother. I never had a mother, much less a lady mother. Yo, you could be my mother.
She's so ate up with Eustace right now that she's like, he really likes you.
Yeah.
You could be my mom.
She just believes her own BS way too hard.
Man, it's so disappointing.
Like, this is going to work.
She could have been so legit between the two of them, you know?
Yeah. What do you got?
I had both of those as my own, so I'm going to give my third own, which is near the beginning of the part that we read this time, where Dunk and Egg are talking before the battle happens, and he tells him to put it back in the boot. Like, that whole thing was so cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Egg's like, I'd sooner you didn't die. And Dunk says, it's too hot to die. I thought that was really funny. So, own to that. My other own, too, was the egg sitting nearby. I just loved that part. And then another part when he first goes up to see Lady Rohan, she was waiting for him out inside the stable, standing by the yellow bales of hay in a gown as green as summer. Sir Duncan, she said when he came pushing through the door, her red braid hung down in the front, the end of it brushing against her thighs. It's good to see you on your feet. You never saw me on my back, he thought. My lady, what brings you to the stables? It's a wet day for a ride. That made me laugh.
Yeah, that's so funny. It gave me pause. I was like, is this what I think it is?
Right.
Or is this
Maybe
like that he
not.
Never fell on his back? Yeah, I like that twist.
I think it's what we think it is. So,
and she never
owns.
Will.
Now on to your owns.
On Twitter, @StraightSavageCole.
Let's go.
Joining us on the read-through. Be like Travis. My own goes to Maester Carrick for being Ironborn and using his familiarity with the Drowned God to bring Dunk back after the drowned. After he drowned, sorry. Egg's loyalty and mistrust, even making the Maester taste anything he intended to feed Dunk, was also a nice touch. Bennis the Menace gets an honorary own for living up to his moniker by being the absolute worst and ransacking Standfast while Dunk was saving his miserable life. Well said. I'll bet she's freckled all over. I think you must be large all over. Blushy emoji face, mind-blowing emoji. Okay, George, we know they def want to bump uglies. Crying emoji face. Dunk showing serial killer tendencies and taking a lock of hair to remember the Red Widow instead of a bomb-ass horse. I could see it from that perspective, too.
Maybe,
here we are going like, oh, he really stuck it to her, but it is weird that he didn't just take the awesome horse and he took her hair. And finally, Egg reminding me of Tyrion. Curious to see the wall. Wonder if he'll piss off it as well.
Oh, man.
That's cool.
Now on to Instagram. Mrs. Duncan the Tall, star of the show. Mrs. Duncan the Tall, we get it now, I guess.
yeah, what are your opinions on Rohan?
Own to grab my braid. Drooling emoji, saluting emoji.
Yeah, true.
And then DLogZ13, I'm a big hair guy, so yeah, Sir Duncan, own to you.
Right on.
A lot of braid fans in the house.
I mean, it's a pretty excellent haircut that she's got. I really want to know, we're going to need to get it from the source, how much of, put that on our next podcast with GRM, how much of that braid did he really cut off? We need to ask the important stuff today. And he's like, we're talking about wins. Mm-hmm. No. We want to know about the braid.
Too good. I loved the Sworn Sword. This was so much fun. I loved it so much.
I'm looking forward to getting back to Aswolf proper. The chapter cadence is really fun. But yeah, this has been such a cool thing to inject into the podcast. Obviously, we're reading other books, but we don't talk about any of those books with each other unless we're reading the same thing, which rarely ever happens. And also never with this amount of intensity applied to it. So
right.
This has been a nice welcome break. But yeah, bring on the rest of it.
Bring it on.
So on our next podcast episode, it's a mystery.
Yay.
Find out by looking at our social media. We'll talk about it and do a call for Owens as usual. And obviously subscribe and you'll see it pop up automatically when it's done.
In the meantime, Baja Blast is on shelves year round.
The 20th anniversary.
So get you something to drink.
We lit the beacons and the beacons were answered. Thanks, everyone.
We'll see you soon. Hey. Things I want to say.
Is that so?
We're going to have so many interesting things to say. Here's a little clip of me putting on some chapstick for all the girlies out there. There you go. The review I give this chapstick, a 3 out of 10.